This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. I am your host, Dom Salvia. Got Matt Rothschild in with me today as well. Jess P.S. is on the board. You are on the lines and on the horn at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Matt, I know we kind of went to the edge last hour with regards to Christopher Wray tendering his resignation at the end of the Biden administration. Any additional thoughts you may have on that, my friend?
Well, I thought Joe was right because Gary used the unfortunate turn of phrase, nobody's perfect. And it's not like Donald Trump who was backing out of his car in the garage and had a fender bender. I was a little more serious than that. So I was glad Joe was able to pipe in on that. But, you know, Gary did say something that I thought was had some meaning, and that is that Trump, oddly, perversely, was able to make hay on these prosecutions, calling them persecutions, and claiming that he was being, you know, politically attacked by the Justice Department when there was clear evidence that he had committed some major crimes and should have been investigated, should have been indicted, and should have been able to bring it before a jury before this election happened. But Merrick Garland was just too darn slow. And as a result, you know, here we are. But it also, I mean, Gary points to the fact that Donald Trump is one of the greatest con men and salesmen this country has ever seen, that he could take these indictments and make hay, spin gold out of them.
Well, you need to have a mark, Matt, and that apparently is the MAGA supporters.
77 million marks.
77.268. Yeah. So 77 million.
I mean, it's not just MAGA. I mean, it's not just the cult that came along, it was people outside the cult too, which is even more distressing. And you know, Democrats really need to look at that.
Trump got 77,268, and Harris got 74,982. So it was not a 80 some million votes as Gary incorrectly stated.
No, I believe Gary was misremembering the 2020 election in which Biden won 81 million.
The numbers, the percentages anyway, of the popular vote, Trump 49.9 and Harris 48.4, according to the AP. That's less than 50% on my radio math. So not a grand, glorious victory by any stretch of the imagination. But if you do look at the electoral votes, Matt, 312 to 226, I mean, that tells a story. I mean, the seven swing states didn't hold up.
Yeah, I mean, and the last point I was just going to make, that was what was so crushing, sweeping all seven of the swing states, including Wisconsin. I know Ben Wickler is making the case that we did better than the other six swing states, but that's slim consolation right here.
We lost by less.
Still lost.
It was so close, we lost by less. 855-752-4842. Matt, you know, when I wind down at night, I like to watch some sports. And I'm not really like a big sportster, but it's nice to, you know, shut off the news because, you know, this cycle we're in, man, you can do this all day, all night, all the time. I don't care if it's doom strolling or what the case is. There's lots of news to be consumed, and it can get overbearing, and you know, it can be a little bit habitual as well. So I try to shut it down, you know, turn it off and watch some sports. So last night, I was sitting down and catching up on the Bucks, man. I love watching the Milwaukee Bucks. They started out, won their first game, and they went through a little trouble, and now they're back on their winning ways. And they beat Orlando in a great game yesterday. I think the Bucks are, 8-2 in their last 10, and they won like two in a row. And it was a great game. It was a close game. It came down to the wire. And Matt, what I noticed all of a sudden, and I hadn't noticed this before, the referees were wearing Emirates patches. I was thinking, what's this all about? Emirates. I was like, United Arab Emirates? Like Emirates, like the airline Emirates? Yes, that Emirates. So I did a little digging today. I was trying to figure out, well, what is going on here? And in fact, I did find from the NBA.com from February of this year, Emirates named global airline partner of NBA and title partner of the Emirates NBA Cup. So this is like some internal competition going on during the regular season. And the Bucks' victory yesterday apparently sends them to Vegas to continue to compete for the Emirates Cup. They're the sponsor. A little bit from the reporting here, Emirates and the NBA announced a multi-year global marketing partnership naming Emirates the official global airline partner of the NBA. Collaboration also makes Emirates the integral title partner of the NBA Cup, previously named the NBA in-season tournament, as well as the first ever referee jersey patch partner of the NBA. I mean, first ever, man. I mean, hey, we're running out of space on the players. Let's start stacking up the refs. So the patch was on the refs. I was like, what is going on here? Is there no space that you can't advertise on? I mean, hell, when they showed the free throws, like the top of the backboard has got advertising.
It's all retail space.
Oh, my goodness. As the first title partner of the Emirates NBA Club, the global airline will be featured through a co-branded Emirates NBA Cup event logo with co-branding promotion planned across the NBA's global social media community and in-arena signage throughout the Emirates NBA Cup semifinals and championship games starting next season. Well, we're in that season now. The Emirates logo will also be featured on all NBA referee jerseys starting with the 2024 NBA All-Star Game taking place. Of course, this was last February. Now, here's just a quick quote, and we'll have this conversation. We are proud to establish a global marketing partnership with the National Basketball Association to become the official global airline partner, said His Highness Sheikh Ahmed bin Zayed Al Maktoum, the Emirates Group Chairman and Chief Executive. Now, I looked this up. Emirates Airlines is owned by Emirates Group, which is a subsidiary of the government. This is a government, right? And His Highness, anytime you talk, His Highness, you know what? That does not. I would be very bad in those kinds of social situations. I will never refer to anyone as His or Her Highness.
What if I come in a crown?
Doesn't matter. You better give me a bottle of crown if you want me to go down that road. The collaboration will also see Emirates become the league's first referee jersey patch partner. As I noted, man, I've never noticed mm-hmm. that before. It must have been going on. I've watched games before, just never noticed it till last night. And the inaugural title partner of the NBA Cup, with basketball's popularity around the world, we're excited to work with one of the most globally recognized and prestigious professional leagues. The NBA is a valuable addition to our sponsorship portfolio as it allows us to connect with a vast global fan base, including in the U.S., where the game is an integral part of the country's sports culture. They go on and on and on. Now, maybe they're not as bad, the Emirates, human rights. You know, this is my concern. You know, you get these Your Highness type countries and hardcore religious countries. How do they take care of the women, the elderly, the gays? You know what I'm saying? The not like thems. And Matt, what's your sense on that? I think this is sports watching. And on top of this, it has also been reported today. Of course, this is timely as well. Saudi Arabia chosen to host the 2034 World Cup. Yeah.
Well, you know. I like your expression there, sports washing, because I think that's what it is. United Arab Emirates, I took a quick look at Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International. They don't have freedom of association, freedom of speech there. There are about two dozen political prisoners there. They have terrible working conditions for migrant labor that's working in the huge in the heat out there in the summertime. We're talking about 135 degrees. And they're not great on sexual minorities either, as you suggested. They probably weren't, Dom. So, yeah, this is not a great look for the NBA. And, you know, the NBA is selling itself to the largest bidder here, no matter what. And also the NBA is terribly complicit in sports gambling right now. I mean, they're getting a take on, you know, everyone who puts a bet down on DraftKings and FanDuel. I mean, this is... it's just a crazy way to addict the country, and I'm not one to say gambling's horrible. I do my own gambling, but I like to say I'm not a gambler. I'm a Texas Hold'em player. There's a difference. But anyway, that's cutting it pretty thin. So, but why should the NBA be prospering off of other people's addiction problems? That's wrong, too. So I think the NBA should take a look in the mirror here.
Well, Matt, as I always like to say, it's only gambling when you lose. Otherwise, it's a sure thing.
Otherwise, you're just a genius.
Right. The World Cup. And the World Cup has been famous for its corruption, right? this kind of thing. It's not great. The CBS News is reporting, this is from today, soccer's international governing body, FIFA, confirmed Wednesday the locations of the next two men's World Cup, announcing Spain, Portugal, and Morocco to host 2030 tournament with games played in Uruguay, Paraguay, and Argentina. Also announced that Saudi Arabia will host the 2034 World Cup. The consideration and now announcement of Saudi Arabia as a host has prompted backlash from rights groups due to the country's human rights record. FIFA is willfully blind to the country's human rights record, setting up a decade of potentially horrific human rights abuses preparing for the 2034 World Cup. Minky Warden, director of the Global Initiatives at Human Rights Watch, said in a statement, the rights group point to evidence that the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, known as MBS, has presided over numerous documented cases of torture, mass executions, I mean, those are the best kind, and forced disappearances. Domestic criticism of state, even on social media, has been met with imprisonment and torture, and the CIA has concluded with high confidence that MBS personally ordered the 2018 assassination and dismemberment of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi at a Saudi diplomatic office in Turkey.
Let me just read the top paragraph from Amnesty International on Saudi Arabia. The authorities targeted individuals for peacefully exercising their rights to freedom of expression or association. Some were sentenced to lengthy prison terms or death following grossly unfair trials. Human rights defenders continued to be arbitrarily detained or subject to travel bans. Courts handed down death sentences following grossly unfair trials, including in cases of individuals who were children at the time of their alleged crimes, and people were executed for a wide range of crimes. Migrants were subjected to serious human rights abuses, including killings at the border. Thousands of people were involuntarily returned to their home country as part of a crackdown on undocumented migrants. That might be happening here.
That sounds kind of familiar. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. Matt Rothschild joining me, Jess P.S. on the board. A comeback. We're going to continue this conversation just for a bit longer. Some headlines of the day on the sports. Now, this one came out last week. I'm going to get into here. NBA returning to China for a pair of Suns-Nets preseason games in 2025. So the NBA was in China, but then they're kicked out. Well, why were they kicked out? Well, we're going to have to stick around to find out that. I want to get your thoughts on this. Is this different from buying an iPhone from China? The NBA going to China or going back to China? FIFA, the World Cup in Saudi Arabia. United Arab Emirates sticking their logos on the refs here in this country. Are these acceptable, just regular old promotions, or is it sports washing? Is this dirtier than we think it is? Come back with us, 855-752-4842. Not to put too fine upon. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, talking about sports washing. You know, some of these foreign countries that have, you know, dubious relationships with their LGBTQ communities, jumping in and sponsoring teams like the NBA. A little bit on this from the reporting when this deal was first struck at the USA Today from April of 2024, Mike Freeman, just a few paragraphs here. There are few leagues historically better than the NBA and the WNBA at including and respecting the LGBTQ community. Both leagues have seen trailblazing players and game officials. About 20% of WNBA rosters are openly LGBTQ. Out Sports reported 2 years ago, both leagues are extraordinary on this issue, which makes something the NBA has done so especially puzzling. NBA referees must now wear multiple patches on their uniforms supporting Emirates. The NBA and the airline reached a deal in February for the Emirates to serve as the official global airline of the NBA and the WNBA. And on the surface, it's a standard deal leagues make all the time. But as Outsports recently reported, this one is extremely different. That's because Emirates is owned by the government of Dubai, part of the United Arab Emirates. Dubai just might be the most anti-LGBTQ place on the face of the planet. Being gay is outlawed in Dubai and the UAE. Outlawed. Now, two of the refs who have to wear the patches, one is Bill Kennedy, who came out as gay 10 years ago as a way to combat anti-gay sentiment in the league. The other is Shay Flores, who is transgender and publicly told their story recently. So to summarize, the NBA has reached this deal with the government, whose policies are hostile to large swaths of its membership. Now, the issue speaks to the complexities of a league like the NBA, which is trying to expand the game, but in doing so, will go places where the game is welcome, but not all of its people are.
Correct. I mean, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in the UAE face discrimination. Homosexuality is illegal there. Consensual same-sex extramarital activity is illegal. Extramarital sexual activity between persons of different sexes, also illegal, Dom.
Uh-oh, Trump, better stay away from the UAE. I mean, and, you know, public affection, kissing is, you know, frowned upon there, holding hands, that kind of, to my understanding, which is terrible, all sorts of reasons why. I mean, I like to travel, Matt. I'd like to go see places and things and cultures and all that kind of stuff. But what? Wait, what? You know, and the most anti-LGBTQ place on the face of the earth, quote unquote. I mean, why would you want to spend your money there? And why would the NBA want to? Oh, that's right. They're paying. They're paying. It's all about the moolah, Matt. It was like,
yeah, it's a real low bar. You know, they'll take money from anybody at this point, it looks like. And the World Cup is going to do the same thing with Saudi Arabia 10 years from now.
Sports washing. The guy had a Washington Post journalist. Now, granted, he was from Saudi Arabia, and he was very critical of the government there. The dude was kidnapped, drugged, and hacksawed. They haven't found his body yet. I mean, the MBS, they call him Hexa. At least I call him Hexa. He's like,
I mean, he had joint citizenship. He was a U.S. citizen, too. So it wasn't just a Saudi. And, yeah, Khashoggi was just, you know, hacked to pieces by these people that the crown prince hated. And, you know, he and the crown prince and Putin can celebrate it all they want. But, you know, this is who the World Cup's dealing with. And, of course, women have been second-class or third-class citizens there forever. LGBT folks are fourth-class. And so, you know, what's the World Cup doing with soccer going to Saudi Arabia? What's the NBA doing, you know, going to, selling its referees off to the UAE and letting, you know, naming rights all over the stadiums and everything, or all over the games as they're being played? I mean, it's pretty reprehensible when you look at it.
Now, also in this same vein, the AP reporting from last week, the NBA is returning to China next season, striking a deal to play preseason games there more than 5 years after the league was effectively banned. Well, why would the league be banned from China? Apparently, the commissioner, Adam Silver, did not punish Daryl Morey for tweeting support of anti-government protesters in Hong Kong.
God forbid you do that.
No. Oh, no. I mean, can you imagine? Why would you want to go there? Wait, keep your head down, keep your mouth shut. You know, don't show affection. Don't talk politics. Just what? Shut up and dribble. Right? I mean, is that what we're coming down to? Now, help me understand this, Matt, because, you know, my quandary with this is I got an iPhone, man. You know, that wasn't made here in Wisconsin. I got an Apple Mac. You know, I went to the Mac, man. I got away from the PCs. But none of that stuff's made here, man. Most of the stuff's made, what, Foxconn, China, Taiwan. China has, obviously, we're buying lots of things from China. Is this any different? Do you see a difference from the NBA after getting kicked out for essentially political support for anti-government protesters in Hong Kong, going back 5 years later, perhaps with their tail between their legs, and providing, you know, the product of sports entertainment? Is that any different from me buying an iPhone?
I think so. I mean, none of us is lily white and pure. And we all, you know, live in a society where, you know, we have to function. And one way we function is with iPhones. I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, unless you want to be in a cave somewhere, you're gonna dirty your hands a little bit by having these products made in countries whose policies are reprehensible. But it's different than, you know, going out of your way to get an endorsement from these folks. You know, it's like, you know, do you want the Emirates or China or Saudi Arabia to advertise on your show, Dom? Probably not. And I think that's the distinction I draw.
Well, it depends how much money they're coming with, man, because isn't that really what it comes down to? They're not. I cannot imagine with the league, with the NBA, they must have some internal strife as well. And maybe the LGBTQ members of the NBA have a problem with this. But, you know, if they're sharing the wealth, well, here's your cut. You know, I don't know how that went down, but it seemingly is challenging. Real quick, we got 50 seconds in this segment, Matt. Is bird watching a sport, my birder friend?
Some people make it in a sport. See how many different birds you can see in a day or how many different birds you can see in a year. I don't do that kind of bird watching. I'm just happy to see the red-bellied woodpecker outside my window today.
Beautiful. I love the pictures. Matt Rothschild is going to come back with us. Jess P.S. is on the board. You can join us as well. 855-752-4842. We got some updates on the CEO, the healthcare CEO murderer. We're going to go there. We're also going to talk about the cost of healthcare. Man, it's not low. Come back with us. 855-75-CIVIC.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Matt Rothschild here with us today as well. Jess P.S. on the board. It's a phone line. It's a text line. I've got a couple on there. Let's get to them. Susan from Kenosha. I love your show. Oh, thank you, Susan. Sounds like a fun place to visit. Talking about Saudi Arabia. The Saudis certainly appear to show a woman a good time with lots of laughy faces. Yeah, I don't know about that, Susan, but thanks for hanging out with us. Matt makes a good point from Middleton. If people put their dollars behind, If people put their dollars behind their values, we'd have a better world. Bothers me to see lazy liberals shopping at Amazon and bitch about monopolies, a smiley face with a cry tear. I think that's a good point, Matt Rothschild. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, where you can, you know, some things are harder than others. I mean, getting a cell phone that's really, a smartphone that's really, works really well. I mean, yeah, I've got an Apple smartphone. And, you know, am I thrilled with it? I'm not. But, you know, do I go to Amazon? No, I go to the local bookstore because I can order there. And that doesn't take a lot of effort to shop locally. And we need to support our independent bookstores. So. Yeah. You know, we all make our choices, and none of us is absolutely, you know, unstained by capitalism and by countries with bad human rights records. But there are ways, you know, I try in my own little ways to support where I can local businesses and try not to, you know, help out the real bad guys out there. But, it's impossible to be pure. That doesn't mean we should just give up.
Make every effort you can. Good points. Tom from New Berlin, he says, Matt, early this morning, the great horned owl making his hoots was amazing. this mating season, apparently, Matt. I'm not clear, but the great horned owl was out and about.
Yeah, it is actually mating season for owls right now, especially the great horned owls in December and January. They do their thing, and then they raise their they hatch their babies in February. So you will hear the call of the great horned owl, which is the classic owl sound. If you've got owls in the neighborhood, it's really cool. I hear them. We also have barred owls, and they make a "Who cooks for you?" sound. That's how we remember it, because it sounds like they're going, "Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you?" That's the barred owl, but the great horned owl has a more typical owl sound.
Is it just mating season for the great horned owl, or is it general owl mating season?
I think most owls mate, but in this season. But I know for a fact that it is great horned owl season.
Susan,
I can't say for absolute sure okay, that every man. Single other owl
you are the closest,
is mating right now.
You are the closest thing to a bird expert that I know, so you're my guy. Susan from Kenosha says, "It's really sad when you sell yourself for money and not have respect for your beliefs. When did we sell off our beliefs of our constitutional rights?" Well, there's that. Steve from Madison points out, "Wait till Trump gets in office. He'll have the White House surrounded by billboards advertising Trump businesses. It will be the home of crooks and lies with mega signs. He is a sick person." Well, thank you for your opinion, Steve. But, you know, you'd have to still get those billboards approved by the local D.C. And I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Be funny to watch, though.
It would be. See, that battle. That's really what's worth fighting for. The healthcare. All right, let's talk about the healthcare. So the updates on the shooter, Luigi Mangione. How do you pronounce his last name?
Mangione.
Not the musician, Chuck, right? We talked about Chuck Mangione, right? The horn player from the 70s, man? That's some good stuff. Luigi, of course, arrested at McDonald's. And I saw the headline on Drudge, Matt, you know, "All for the hash brown at McDonald's." And I love those McDonald's hash browns, man. I mean, maybe it would be worth getting caught if you're a hungry man. Those are some good fast food hash browns. My understanding, the reporting from today, ballistics has come back on the weapon that apparently matches what were the casings that were found at the scene. And apparently there was a fingerprint as well. So it's looking like they got their guy. I mean, this will continue to evolve, but it looks like that's the guy. I don't know what else to say about that. Now, what we do want to talk about, and which has struck the conversation and is really shined a light on, of course, is the cost of healthcare. Now, apparently, the suspect in this case had some back problems. He fused his lower back, and it's a young person to be fusing your back.
Yeah,
man.
He has a degenerative spinal condition that causes discs to slip out of place. So even though he's quite young, he's had some spinal fusions already.
That sucks. And I've had a few back problems in my life, and thankfully not recently, but you know how debilitating that can be. And also in dealing with trying to get those things fixed, you know, you got to deal with the healthcare system. So the conversation has now, you know, turned to, and no folks and megas out there and any of the callers who suggest murder is always bad, never do that. It's not the way to get things done. The costs of healthcare in this country are certainly concerning. And the CBS News had an article on this from yesterday, and I'm just going to scroll down, throw the numbers out here. And this is shocking to me. In 2024, the average health insurance premium for families carried a price tag of $25,572 per year. $25,572 per year. Now, my rough math says that's about $12-$13 an hour. So if you're working for $12 or $13 an hour and you got a family, And you didn't pay any taxes, if you took all your gross, that would eat that up. That would eat that up. Single workers paid an average of just under $9,000, representing a 6% and 7% increase from the earlier year. Since 2000, the rise in health insurance premium has outpaced inflation for all but a handful of years, the health policy research firm found. This is KFF. Here's Rob Andrews, the CEO of Health Transformation Alliance, a cooperative representing major companies such as American Express and Coca-Cola that works on improving health insurance for their employees. "Unhappiness with insurers stems from two things. I'm sick and I'm getting hassled. And the second is very much cost. I'm paying more than I used to. I'm paying more than my wages went up. A lot of people think they're getting less from their insurers, and they certainly are. So, Matt, how can anybody pay $25,000 a year? Now, thankfully, a lot of the corporations, and though not all, they'll pay some portion of it, right? If you work for a company, they'll pay half and you pay half or some variation. If you work for a really good company, they'll pay the whole thing. Stay with that company if you have that. But in my years on this earth, Matt, and my efforts in different business endeavors, one thing I never, ever wanted to do and went into business for was to provide health insurance for employees. That was never like the point of going into business. That is not the point. So, Matt, how do we address this, man? I mean, you can't be paying $26,000 for crappy insurance. And the fact that these folks literally make more money by denying claims. The more claims you deny, the more money you get.
Yeah, I mean, this is the reason we need universal health care. That's why Bernie Sanders has been saying it over and over again, and people think he's boring because he keeps saying it when he gets up in the morning and when he goes to bed at night. But he's absolutely right. I mean, we shouldn't be the only advanced industrialized country without universal health care. And we shouldn't have this industry that is between us and the care we need, denying us care and gouging us with their prices. And that's why there's been this ghoulish outcry on social media after this, you know, grotesque murder, you know, because people all have, almost every family has an experience. Hell, I was watching MSNBC yesterday and Katie Tour got on and said, I had an emergency appendectomy and they weren't going to cover it. They were going to charge me $50,000. And she had to jump through hoops to get her emergency appendectomy approved by the insurance that she'd been paying. I mean, this is happening to everyone, so everyone can feel it. And yeah. I was listening to Right Wing Radio for a second yesterday, and they were saying, you know, why is Brian Thompson being vilified here? You know, he came from a poor or middle lower class family in the Midwest, and he rose up the corporate ladder. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? And this kid from a wealthy Pennsylvania family, you know, wigs out and commits murder in broad daylight, and he's the hero. But he wasn't this right-wing, righty-whitey guy, wasn't factoring the fact that Brian Thompson was head of this United Healthcare Insurance Company that was denying people the coverage that they wanted. And while he was there, in the first year he was there, they were doubling the rate at which they were denying people the care that they deserved. I'm not saying it justifies going out and shooting a guy
Certainly.
Dead in the street. I mean, that was a horrible thing to do. I don't believe in violence. I don't believe in these single acts. You know, thinking you're going to rectify a problem. That's not how social change is supposed to happen. It was disgusting. But look it, everyone has experiences. I mean, my brother-in-law was supposed to have a spinal surgery that his doctors recommended, and the insurance company said, you can't have that spinal surgery. You need to have a different kind of spinal surgery that didn't go great. I mean, why are these people who've never done surgery in their lives deciding what kind of surgery you should have, or whether you're allowed to have surgery or not, or whether you should be covered by an emergency appendectomy that could kill you? I mean, that's the world we're living in, though, and I think that's what this crime has brought to the surface.
And that's a good point, Matt Rothschild. it's obvious the murder is bad, right? It's so plain that is not a way to solve issues, and we all look at that as something that we do not condone. We condemn it. It's never a place for that. Where's the same concern for those folks who get their claims denied, for those folks who do not get the surgery that their doctors recommend, that the insurance company, someone decides, a claim adjuster decides, no, that's not going to be it. It's going to be this one over here. Because, you know, there are people die because of those insurance companies' decisions.
And insurance companies are killing people.
They're literally, okay, let's do that. Now, it may not be, you know, a shot in the back or a shot in the head. Right? It's not so evident and obvious and violent as that. No, it's done through an email, or it's done through a piece of paper sent, here's your denying your claim. Good luck next time, but thank you for your premiums and don't forget to pay. You know, that, where is the concern for all the folks that are denied, and those specific denials go right to the bottom line. I mean, my understanding, they had over $260 billion at one division in revenue in 1 year.
And $16 billion in profit.
In profit.
$16 billion with a B.
And he made $1 million base. He got $10 million by the time he got all his benefits and whatever the else. And of course, he was also involved. Again, we're talking about the executive who was murdered, apparently doing some insider trading where he profited $11 million by dumping 31% of his own personal portfolio in the company he worked for 11 days prior to the news getting out that there's an investigation going on. So he was involved in that. He's that kind of guy. Let's not just say this was a guy out there, you know, doing good and volunteering his time. And maybe he did, but those decisions, him, I mean, that's pure greed, right? You're not supposed to do that. That's against the law.
It's not just, you know, nice Midwestern guy climbs the corporate ladder, local boy makes good, which is, you know, what this tidy whitey righty guy was talking about. And it bugs me that you can't tell the truth without getting slapped down here. If you're Elizabeth Warren, for instance, here's what she said. The visceral response from people across the country who feel cheated, ripped off, and threatened by the vile practices of their insurance companies should be a warning to everyone in the healthcare system. Violence is never the answer, but people can only be pushed so far. And she got a lot of blowback on that. So she backpedaled by saying violence is never the answer, period. I should have been much clearer. There's never a justification for murder. Well, she said it in the first place that there's no justification.
Well, is it easy? Is it murder if you get denied the claim and you end up dying of whatever the ailment is? No, that's just, you know, you're just sick. You died from being sick. You know, maybe,
it's not murder on the death certificate, but it should be an accomplice.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the point. If you are denied the care that will extend your life and help you live because you're going to pad an insurance company's bottom line, that's not murder. That's just business in the USA, baby. 855-752-4842. Come back with us. We'll take some of your calls.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Last segment of the day, Matt Rothschild, Jess P.S. on the board. 81% of Americans last year said they were dissatisfied with the cost of healthcare in the U.S., a 16-year high. Gallup polling has found, I think that means 19% have their healthcare paid for by somebody else. Tom from Madison, you will have the last word on the healthcare. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks. Yeah, as an independent contractor, artist, musician kind of guy, I'm paying 100% of my health care from pretty much my whole adult life. And I know there's going to be rationing and there's going to be distribution of resources and whatnot, but when you're making $10, $20 billion at the end of it, that's crazy. And when it comes to guns, you know, somebody put it on best on the internet I saw yesterday. Now CEOs have to be in the same class of threat as the typical grade school teacher or third grade.
Oh, God. That's dumb. Thank you for that. But that's terrible. I mean, what a situation we have here in this country. Thanks for listening, Tom. Always appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Matt, the poet, Nikki Giovanni, died at the age of 81. And I saw the headlines all over when it went down. And I got to be honest, man, I wasn't aware. Yeah. And you had sent a link from her interviewing James Baldwin from back in the day. And Baldwin's one of my favorites. And so I it was the first time I really saw that, and I was struck, man. What a powerful voice.
Yeah, you'd have loved this woman. I grabbed a book off my shelf, Selected Poems of Nikki Giovanni. You may not know, it's one of my passions, poetry. So I knew her work. I'd seen her speech. She came to Madison a couple times, most recently in 2017. Just an incredible voice of poetry and of freedom, of civil rights, of justice, a real fighter for justice.
Yeah.
And an icon of the civil rights movement. She knew Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X and Martin Luther King, wrote an incredible poem when King died, saying, you know, his tombstone says, you know, free at last, but that's for slaves. We need to live in a country where he could have, you know, preached nonviolence his whole life. Yeah. So, yeah, an amazing person. We have a couple, I think we have a couple audio clips, Jess. Why don't you play the first one and then maybe go to James Baldwin.
All right, so this is a short poem, Am She.
I am she, making rainbows in coffee cups, watching fish jump after midnight in my dreams. On the stove, left front burner is the stew already chewed, certain to burn as I dream of waves, of nothingness. Floating to shore, riding a low moon on a slow cloud, I am she who writes the poems.
Mm. I love that powerful voice. And then she was, you mentioned James Baldwin, Dom, one of the absolute greatest writers of the 20th century and a pioneer in the civil rights movement too. This was a conversation that Nikki Giovanni had with James Baldwin in 1971. Giovanni was 28. Baldwin was 47. They have kind of a clash of generations here, but they have tremendous mutual admiration too. So let's play this little cut that I grabbed today for you, Jess.
So the question, I mean, for me, the question has always been power.
Yes.
And for, like you all, the question has been morals. You know, I never wanted to be the most moral person in the world.
I agree, I know.
I would like, I mean, I would sell my soul, you know what I mean? What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Mm-hmm. The world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The world, that's what it profits.
I know.
So you take the soul, you know, if you think that's spiritual, take the world, but give me Jesus.
Yes.
Y'all can have Jesus,
yes.
Give me the world. You know, even though it's losing 25% of its energy every 100 years or something ridiculous.
Oh, please, don't believe all, don't believe everything you hear.
No, but I'm saying that's not my concern, you know?
I know.
Even though it's polluted, ugly, dirty, give it to me.
Oh, I just love that. Give it to me. Give me the world. Mm-hmm. You can have your morals. I want my power. I want the world. I want to end the injustice. And I looked at through this book and found a poem called A Very Simple Wish. I just want to read the last two stanzas, which are incredible. I want to make a quilt of all the patches and find one long, strong pole to lift it up. I have a mind to build a new world. Want to play? Love that. Want to play? She was ready to play. She wanted to build that new world and where everyone's voice could be heard and not just, you know, say as Baldwin did tremendously that, you know, white people never will be free as long as black people aren't free. But she wanted the power to make everybody free and to liberate her people. And such a tremendous voice. Nikki Giovanni at 81 died just 2 days ago, November 9th. And I think for people who ever saw her speak in Madison or elsewhere know what a tremendous voice she had. And if you haven't heard her speak, I would just recommend Google tonight, Nikki Giovanni, that's G-I-O-V-A-N-N-I, Nikki with two Ks, Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin. And
I'll
you'll
also
get this
link this into the show notes.
Oh, thanks. It's just an incredible conversation. It goes on for about 48 minutes. We just grabbed that 30 seconds, but it is, you will feel two of the wisest people you'll ever want to meet speaking about really important issues. And it's just fun to be a fly on that wall.
Mm-hmm. According to the New York Times, in her early years, much of her poetry was boldly militant as she addressed the horrors that had galvanized the civil rights movement. The murders of Emmett Till, the four black girls in Birmingham church bombing, and the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Quote, no one was much interested in a black girl writing what was called militant poetry, she wrote in her book Gemini. So I formed a company and published myself.
There you go.
81 years old. Big shoes to fill. Look forward to getting to know her a little bit more in her writings. Thank you, Matt Rothschild, for coming out and hanging out with me today. Thank you, Jess P.S., for all of your work. Thank you to our fair audience for joining us. Stick around. Pete Schwaba for the Nightlight is coming up next. And tomorrow, I got James Santel, former U.S. attorney, going to co-host with me in the Dom and Friends version of a Thursday. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful night. We'll see you here tomorrow. I'm around.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.